two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome in. It's the final hour here. No, it's not the final hour. I got everything all mixed up here. I got so much going on here on Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone.
No, it is the final hour.
Well, yeah, but we still have so much going on.
Oh, well, we have two hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get your timing right, man. We got our whole lives changed.
I think we're on the radio like 24/7. We're just always on it.
Do you ever dream in radio? Do you ever dream in radio? Do you ever give out the phone number in your sleep? I do it.
Well, I talk on my radio voice in my dreams.
You have a radio voice?
Yeah.
Why haven't I heard it yet? Come on.
That's kind of mean.
No, I'm waiting for you to be like, hey, everybody, Scott Mitchell
here. That's a weird
hey, everybody, four wonderful quarterbacks, Scott Mitchell over here. Thanks for being with us.
I've got the radio voice. It's the...
Which is what?
Well,
just a deep voice or something?
Welcome to Unrivaled.
It's the... You don't have to get into like you're reading a book in a quiet
That's
library.
The radio voice.
How dare
that's
you.
How I talk in my dreams.
All right. We're going to kick off the hours we always do with at least what is our top story of the hour. It is The Cut. Let's just jump right in here.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Hold on. The Cut was brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. Do you snore at night? Are you using a CPAP machine currently to treat sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com. Now, what were you going to say, Scott?
Well, I heard something really interesting over the weekend.
Some dirt?
No,
it's not
dirt.
Oh, I was hoping.
And I don't know that it's inside information because, well, it was public.
Okay.
I mean, it went over the radio airwaves. George Kliavkov, who is the commissioner of the Pac-12, was on a radio program. And he talked about the Pac-12 actually entertaining the idea of going to just a single platform system.
No divisions.
Getting rid of divisions.
No north and south.
So the top two teams at the end of the season would actually play each other, and you'd only play 8 conference games.
Which is what they want to do anyway, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what kind of every conference is moving toward an 8 conference schedule.
So I kind of got thinking through this, like, does that make a lot of sense?
Is that good for Utah?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's phenomenal for the conference in general.
How would it be better? How would it be a better situation? I know one fewer conference game is better in terms of not having to, you know, go through the gauntlet
another
week. So
it's better from that perspective, but that also allows you the potential of having an out-of-conference rival, like a BYU-Utah rivalry. You're going to have that game every year. Those rivalry games are really good for – college football, they're good for your program. I like the fact that there's a rivalry game between Utah and BYU. It's a healthy thing. So 8 games helps you with that. But what it does is they're going to expand the college football playoffs. And if you have two teams in your conference, let's just say you have Oregon, because that's what everyone loves right now. Let's say Oregon's undefeated. And let's say they play a team that has one loss. Shoot, let's say they play a team that doesn't have any losses, or you know, in the conference. I mean, that's potentially you could have two no-loss teams. And then they play each other in the conference championship. And the team that loses is only has one loss on the season. Right. And if you have an expanded playoff situation, you're going to get more teams into the playoffs. Your conference games right now count. Like, so or the loss to Oregon State for Utah, it counts against their record. And your Pac-12 record is the first thing they look at to see if you can win your division. Do you have the best record?
If you have a season two where you've got definitely the best two teams in the South or in the North.
Right.
It'll bear that out for your conference championship possibility as well.
Right. And right now, let's say you have
Oregon and Oregon State are the classes of the conference currently.
Yeah. But then let's say in the other division, you have a team with three losses. So you have in the North a team with one or no losses, and in the South the best team has three losses.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That three-loss team is actually going to go to the conference championship game. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then the other thing it does is I think it starts generating some real rivalries. You know, you look at the SEC, and you've got right now you've got Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, those are typically the top teams in the
Vanderbilt
conference.
Kentucky.
Yeah, either way. But no, it's a great point.
I guess it's
point.
Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Is that
this was my idea. Okay, so I had a spin off of this. And this was my idea. You still have the conference championship, right? So the 1 and 2 play each other. But what if you had like a conference round, not a round robin, but like a conference celebration? So in Vegas, imagine they have it over 2 or 3 days, and they have multiple games a day. So you get 11 and 12 play each other, 10 and 9. 8 and 6, you know, and they just, and so everyone goes to the gala, so to speak, and then it's capped off at the end with the championship. So you make the conference championship game, which is kind of a yawner, really. It's like no one goes to it. It's boring. It's awful.
Well, Utah's gone to it.
No.
Well, they lost 10-7
about,
that one.
I'm talking about fans.
I know.
Go to the game.
It's no. Like, It's in San Francisco,
but now it's going to be in Vegas, yeah. And you could have this Pac-12, you know, celebrate. I mean, think about the conference championships now, where you know they in basketball, right? So they make it an event, and so you could have this really cool event that you'd have, and I don't know, it's just, and then it gives everyone an extra game. It's nice. It's bada bing, bada boom.
Hey, there you go. Oh, is that how they sold it to you?
Yeah.
I want to take the two divisions. I want to go bada bing, bada boom. Those are the two divisions. I want to get rid of them.
I added that in the end. Okay, that was my thing. But other than that, I think it's a brilliant idea. Right. I really like it.
I can't remember what the exact deal is either with how the Big 12 is going to work when you add all these four teams that are coming over. Joining us right now on the guest hotline, brought to you by Smart Rain. Utah's going through a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that the 2022 budget plan is going on for a lot of these businesses around. So take advantage of their Save Now and Pay Later promotion. Check out Best of State Award winner Smart Rain at smartrain.net. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, joins us right now on the program. Mitch, I can't remember how they're going to do it. Are they going to stay in a one? Or were they talking about divisions? What did Bob Bowlesby say with the Big 12 about when it came to divisions and the future of that for the conference?
Yeah, divisions are likely for football and men's basketball. That's kind of the direction they're leaning towards. And they started conversations last week in regards to how many games are going to be played on the football schedule, either 8 or 9. I think they're leaning more towards an 8-game conference schedule because I think that's going to become the trend in college football going forward. And I think it'll create some opportunities to get some marquee non-conference scheduling opportunities because the Big 12 Conference will probably have some perception battles that they have to overcome, and they can rewrite a little bit of those in the non-conference.
So impressions from the weekend. You were up in Pullman. You covered the game right there at Martin Stadium. And your thoughts from the game right off the bat. I mean, people can go and read your stories there at KSLSports.com, but what was BYU over the weekend? Did it pass an eye test for you? Obviously, with 32 carries, that's not something we've seen out of a BYU back in quite some time.
No, we haven't. And I think it's kind of just what this team is all about, how they won. It's never going to be anything pretty. It's never going to be glamorous, but it's going to get the job done. And they're fortunate that Washington State botched a PAT, and that was the difference in that game, or else we're looking at an overtime setup, and who knows what could have happened there. But, you know, BYU, it's just kind of a grinded-out type team. It's not going to be the high-flying act that you saw a year ago, but that's kind of what it's going to become. For when we talk about the Big 12 and playing Power 5 football, that's what BYU is now, until they get more talent on the field. I mean, think about this. They brought out a lot of nickel package, and they had a guy like Jacob Boren, who was once a walk-on, or is a walk-on still. He was like a fourth, fifth-string guy coming into the season. He started, and they won in a Pac-12 venue. So I think that, you know, BYU, they had a nice bounce back, and I think it sets up an opportunity for them to now be in a position to get a 10-win season, because Idaho State and Georgia Southern, I'm ready to chalk those up. Those are wins. It's going to come down to a two-game season now against P5 teams, and you got the chance to get 10 wins. That would be quite the accomplishment and a follow-up act from last year's success.
Well, hold on about those two wins right there. No, I'm just kidding. Look, what I'm curious about, because I think this is something Kalani Sitake has known, right? I've talked a lot about this, I feel, recently, how you stay competitive in building a team that maybe you have a recruiting disadvantage. And Utah's done that, Stanford's done it, Oregon State has done it, right? And so I think BYU, if they're going to play in this independence and now in a Power 5 conference with some of the recruiting limitations that they're going to have against the schools that they're going up against in their conference, they're at a disadvantage. So
yeah, I mean,
what happened for those 2 weeks then? What happened at Boise State, and what happened? How did they lose that image or identity or mindset? What was different in those games?
All security. I mean, Boise State was, like, I point to that as being the issue was for that Boise State and one turnovers. That's the only issue that happened in that game. Boise State's not a good football team this year. That was caused by turnovers. But the Baylor game, BYU was, they got a dose of reality. And I think that they're going to now, after this season, that's going to be a reference point that BYU always turns back to and goes, that moment at Waco made them realize they got to upgrade the personnel. And I think it might be in the long run a positive, that loss for Baylor. I'm not trying to spin a loss or anything, but I think that was a reality of how much of a gap it's going to take to go week in, week out against Power 5 competition. This year's been kind of a reality check, too, playing 7 Power 5 teams and how it's taking a toll on them physically and on the personnel side. Because right now I would look at BYU's roster and I would say they probably got about 18 to 20 guys that I think are ready to compete week in, week out in the Big 12 Conference. I think most of those guys or at the skill positions at quarterback, wide receiver, running back. But, you know, there's a lot of spots on the defensive side where I'm looking and going, who's the Big 12 talent that could step into that league right now and maybe be an all-conference player? I don't see them right now. And that's where there's going to have to be a lot of work the next couple years to have these 2 years to ramp up and build up some things in the recruiting trail. And when you're in the mix for guys like Cremonti McClain, who's a 5-star recruit out in the state of Florida, who's the top 5 recruit nationally, not just in his state, but the entire nation, that's going to do a world of good for BYU being in a P5 league, because this coaching staff has the relationships, the personality to really win families over, to get them to buy in despite some of the hurdles that maybe BYU has with being a faith-based institution and things like that. But, you know, BYU's got a bright future ahead. But, yes, the games against Baylor were definitely a dose of reality as far as how much of a gap they still have to kind of climb in regards to recruiting and building up their roster.
Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. He's our BYU insider, also hosts Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every week with Matt Biamonte. And Mitch, you're up there in Pullman, you're covering the game, and BYU gets the win. They eke that win out, and I think that people just go, don't care, it's a win, they're 6-2. Then they get that top 25 ranking when the AP poll comes out yesterday. And I had a lot of people who go, yeah, right, no way, they don't deserve it. And I'm like, And Scott, I mean, we always talk about this. It's like, well, are they that ranking? Well, they are until they're not, right? I mean, that's the reality. Are they worth that much money? You know, when you talk about an athlete who signs a big contract, well, yeah, they are, because that's what they're paying them. That's the end of it, right? I mean, so were you surprised by the top 25 ranking? And is that something that they even care about as a team? Because, you know, when we talk to like Jaron Hall every week on our Players Club show, he kind of acts like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know we were ranked, you know. But I mean, So does that matter to Kalani Sitake? It matters for recruiting, certainly.
Yeah, it definitely matters. And I think BYU deserves to be ranked. I mean, they still have a pretty good resume to this point of the season, 6-2 with a lot of those wins, you know, coming against Power 5 teams, four of which in the Pac-12 conference. And, you know, I think you're in a situation right now in college football where you've had 47 teams this season have been ranked at some point. You're kind of in a situation where who do you go with? And I think BYU is a combination of probably a better resume than a lot of those teams on the back end, and they also got a better brand. We know brands kind of win the day in college football. And so, and I think, again, there's respect given to going on the road, regardless if it's a, you know, 2-point win or not, on the road in the Pac-12. That matters. That means something. And that's where I think going forward, fans that observe BYU's football, they kind of got to recalibrate how they think about things. It's no longer this, you got to get style points, you got to do this and that. Like, no, just win ball games and everything will take care of itself when you're in the Big 12 Conference. That's kind of what it's about right now. Like, BYU took care of business. They went on the road and they got a win and they got back in the rankings. It's not a fluke. BYU's a good football team this year. I don't think they're great. They're solid. And I think that on any given week, they can contend with anyone pretty much in college football, with the exception of Georgia, Ohio State, and teams like that, and Alabama. Outside of that, I think BYU could give anyone pretty much a game.
We've got the Players Club coming up here, and I need a question. I need you to give me a question. The question you want to ask more than anything, the burning folks want to know, dying to know question.
Oh, for Jaren Hall?
For Jaren Hall. Mm. What is the thing you want to ask Jaren Hall? What would you like to know?
And if it's
know?
A bad question, I'm going to go, look, Mitch Harper wanted us to ask this.
Exactly.
I don't know why.
Yeah, no, it's going to be your question, Mitch. But, yeah.
How motivated is this BYU team going to be to take down Bronco? I think, you know, Jaren Hall was recruited by Bronco, man, and all Bronco, I believe, was the first coach to offer Jaren when he was a sophomore.
Holy
in Maple
cow.
Mountain High School.
That's a long time ago. Yeah.
That was a long, long time ago. And so, you know, how prideful, how motivating is it to win for Kalani in this game? I mean, you guys talking coming in about rivalries and opportunities to play some rivalry games. This kind of feels, you know, BYU and Virginia, there's connections for the coaching staff. It kind of feels a little bit like a rivalry buildup with how many ties and connections there are between the two staffs. And, you know, BYU still has a few players that were recruited by Bronco, Jaren Hall being one of them. So I think that would be my question that I would say to you guys to ask in the Players Cup coming up.
All right.
Got it noted.
I love it. Mitch, with Bronco coming to town, is there a favorite Broncoism, maybe a truth, an eternal truth maybe that Bronco may have thrown out there for you? I mean, the thing is that Bronco always had kind of his way of delivering I think we're just trying to – it's our quest for perfection. Just the way that he, like, kind of brought things up, you're like, but what was the Broncoism that you that we're all going to remember? Or maybe we've forgotten about Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, I've been having flashbacks today, honestly, when I heard him in his press conference. But, you know, things like fanatical effort, that is a total Bronco Mendenhall-ism. Also, he's kind of well-known for the in terms of, and then he goes on and on about
right.
certain things. Etc. You know, but yeah, fanatical effort, in intensity, grit, determination. Mm. He brought that up today.
Some grit.
So those sort of things. But you know what? I think Bronco, he is a solid football coach and one heck of a defensive mind. And it's weird to think that they're coming into Provo, and it's a high-powered offense,
right? With the best passing quarterback in the country,
right. And that's not surprising. I mean, BYU's had some history with Robert and I and Mendenhall, where they had some great quarterback play. But for their defense to be statistically one of the worst in the nation, it's definitely surprising. But yeah, I think Broncos' homecoming of sorts. There's 11 guys on that staff that have connections to BYU. I think it's going to be quite the setting, and I think that, you know, It'll be a fun football game that could be some explosive offensive fireworks, honestly, if you ask me.
So how motivated is Kalani then? I mean, I know people will downplay it, but how motivated do you think he is to beat Bronco?
Yeah, I mean, he said all the right things today. You know,
of course
kind
he did.
Of similar sentiments to what he said, you know, in Utah week, where tons of respect for those guys, going to be cheering for him in every game, but this week. But I think he's got to be, you know, motivated. You don't want to create the opportunity or the narrative that the former head coach beat you, and you know you want to. This is another opportunity to continue showing the progress that has been making. I think that's what the program is all about for BYU, is continuing to make progress, building up towards the Big 12. And the last thing you want is for Bronco and the Virginia program to roll in and take down BYU, because I think, you know, if you want to talk about maybe the chance of a special season this year, you know, it'd be hard to say special if you're losing to a Virginia team that no one expected much from this year. So this is a big game for this coaching staff. I think, you know, you got guys like Harvey Unga too, who once played for Bronco.
Right.
Steve Clark once was working with Bronco. So there's some really great storylines here, but I do think Kalani behind the scenes, you know, I think he's definitely amped up to try to get this one and get another win in the win column.
Well, I'll have to get a breakdown later in the week as to how this thing will shake out with that high-powered offense that's coming in with the quarterback out of Virginia. Armstrong is just so dang good, and he ran for 100 yards this weekend, and he threw for 400. And so this is a high-powered offense. So what is Elisa Tuiaki going to do to dial it up this weekend? I'm interested to see those thoughts as well. Mitch Harper, he always joins us right here on Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Thanks for hanging out here, Mitch. We'll talk to you again later, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, coming up on Friday, Football Friday is going to be presented by Stonehaven Dental. At Stonehaven Dental, they say yes. Yes to free exams, x-rays for new patients, and flexible appointments. Say yes to great dental care. Visit stonehavendental.com to schedule an appointment. We're going to take a quick break.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.